Nonsense. Nonsense.
First of all, I have to tell you, anytime I hear that word, I suddenly think of a few figures. One, Colonel Sanders comes to mind with sort of the voice of Foghorn Leghorn, right? Nonsense, son, I say nonsense. And then, like, there's a parrot in there and something else, right? Because as I think about the word nonsense, it's nonsensical, right? It doesn't really make a lot of sense. And on the face of it, we're sitting here, and one could think, ever so briefly, that this is nonsense. I mean, right, we have that opening reading of 7 days in which God creates the world, and it could be nonsense if we actually think that that's exactly how the world was created. We know that that's not the point of the story, that it is about the relationship with God to us, that it's about an encounter, a God who is involved at every facet of our lives and in creation. But if we just looked at it on the surface, my friends, it could just be nonsense. Or you think about these women as they're going to the tomb, right? They don't know that the tomb has already been opened. They don't know that the rock has been pulled away, right? They sort of take the spices and they kind of hope, we're going to make it work, all right? We're going to see if it happens, right? I mean, in some sense, that's kind of nonsense. At least that's not how I pack for a trip. Right, like when I'm going on a trip, I make sure I've got like a double of everything, like, you know, 2 pairs of shoes, even if I don't end up using them. I generally bring like 3 books, not because I read that much, but somehow I think I need them. It's kind of funny, I bring a lot, right? You know, I've gone on a day trip with a bigger bag than some people go for a weekend, right? Like, it's just nonsense. And then these women tell this magnificent story. This amazing moment of Christ having at least risen from the dead because the body is not there to be found, and the apostles think it nonsense. Now, here's the interesting thing, because Peter's reaction could be one of two things, right? Peter has just had his heart broken. Peter has just denied Jesus 3 times. Peter is kind of on the same level of Judas right now, right? Their actions, their absolute refusal to believe in God are pretty on par. One of them seeks forgiveness. One of them will come back to the Lord, and we see it in this moment. Despite nonsense, Peter could sort of go and do nothing, or as the gospel tells us, Peter gets up and goes to the tomb. Now, we can't give too much to Peter because, you know, when I was a counselor, we used to have, like, this room where all the files were in when I was in counseling and helping kids and stuff. And one time, I accidentally locked the keys to that file room in the file room, right? Nobody's ever done anything like that, you know, locked your keys in the car, anything like that. And so we had this, like, and it was huge, this ring of keys that probably had 50 keys on it. And the presumption was, like, for everyone on staff was, well, the spare to the key that I'd locked in there was on that key ring, right? Now, I don't know if any of you have ever had this experience, but you know, we had this moment. So one of my coworkers, she takes the key ring, and she goes, and she meticulously tries every single key on that ring. And none of the keys work. And so she comes back and reports to me and says, you know, RJ, none of these keys work. And of course, some of you kind of know where I'm going with this. You know what I did, right? That can't be true. That's nonsense. So what do? I take the keys and I go down there and proceed to do the exact same thing she did, right? Because I needed to somehow have my own physical, tangible proof, right? That's not necessarily the most noble thing, but at least it's an understandable thing, right? That this is this moment in which I've been told something so ridiculous that in my mind I simply couldn't comprehend it without going myself. But on the other hand, it was an impressive moment for me because she, to her credit, sort of followed me down and just smiled and waited for me to go through all of those keys and then said, RJ, didn't you believe me? And I hadn't thought about it, right? I hadn't actually stopped to think about the experience I just had. Because the truth is, I actually did believe her, right? I trusted her. She was a phenomenal counselor. I'm sure she still is. We've since, you know, parted ways since I've gone in a different vocation and so on. But, you know, she was an amazing person. Like, I had no reason to doubt her. I had no reason to question what she was trying to tell me. And yet, that part of my brain just couldn't handle the reality that I was being told. I had to go and see for myself. And that's the invitation. You see, all of us, my friends, could kind of be like Peter in this moment. We can stand up and we too need to go and verify that that tomb is empty. We need to somehow have that moment. We need to somehow have that experience of the disciples, that experience of Peter on that first morning, to go ourselves and to see, wait, is this for real? But be careful, because much like the women, if we're not aware of what lies ahead of us, particularly if we're not conscious of the stones that remain in our way, the stones that block the entrance to the very access of the thing we're trying to discover, our journey might be in vain. And that's where hope comes in. Because with hope, my friends, we not only have the opportunity to watch as four people enter into this church, that they themselves have this miraculous moment going through. A couple weeks ago, we talked about the difference, right? We heard tonight that phenomenal story, God leading Israel through water, through the sea. He makes dry land appear where there was none, right? It's kind of early spring. Many of us have been outside and been on, you know, maybe a lawn that had just had that last bit of snow melt, right? It doesn't dry immediately, right? So, there's a lot going on there, that the wind and the power of God was so magnificent that even the seabed became dry for the Israelites. Even the tiniest detail, the tiniest moment, had already been accounted for by God. And so, my friends, let us dare to hope in nonsense. Let us dare to hope in something in which we can encounter through the mysteries by watching others, by watching our friends, by suspending just for a brief moment that urge to try to prove someone else wrong, because we too can enter into this moment. We have listened to the history of God working through ancient Israel from the very beginning of our recorded scriptures, right up to that moment in which we transfer into this New Testament, right up to that moment in which something remarkable happens, in which God reaches out to each and every one of us and says, I love you. Because that's what tonight is about. Tonight is about experiencing that love of God who goes through, quite literally, hell into heaven for us. A God who reaches out through it all, who sees and has experienced the pain and the suffering and the frustrations and even the disappointment of his friends, to recognize that sometimes nonsense can be the source of the greatest news of all. Let us enter into that moment, and where necessary, let us bend down, let us look into the cave, and let us be in awe of a God who is truly alive. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.